Turn to Hebrews, not Hebrews, but Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Let me read to you three verses, starting in verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Well, we could stop there, couldn't we? We could write out from that Selah. Pause and think about this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. Not just that little spot. It wasn't just an earthquake in Palestine. The whole creation shook. I believe it did. I believe the whole earth shook. And the rocks split in two. The rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let us pray. Our Father, help us to understand what we have read. Help us to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Our greatest desire here this evening, and we pray that it's so, is to worship you. Is to give unto you the glory that's due unto your name. Bless your word to the encouragement of your people. Edify them, Father, out of your word. Enable me to preach from this portion of Scripture the message that is in it. And I pray that we, thy church that is here tonight, will hear thy voice. That we will hear from our Father. Instruct us. Teach us. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. I titled this message, The Veil of the Temple Was Rent. It was split, torn, right down the middle. And that was a very thick veil. What did you say, Frank? Is a hand's breadth. That's thick material. And it was rent, split, right down the middle. When our Lord came into this world, when the Word was made flesh, that was miraculous, wasn't it? A virgin giving birth to this God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he grew up, and he entered his earthly ministry at 30 years of age, he began to perform miracles. Miracles such had never been seen in this world before. No one had ever done what this man did. He turned water into wine. Real wine. He fed 5,000. That was men, not counting the women and children, and did that more than once. He healed the lame, the deaf, the dumb. He cast out demons. I like it when I read that one portion where that demonic came to him, and the Lord cast them demons out of that man, and he was sitting in his right mind at the Lord's feet. That's the only time we are in our right mind, when we sit at his feet. He performed many miracles. But the greatest of all miracles
Has to be.
I mean, among the greatest of them. I don't know if we can pick things out. But among the greatest of all His miracles has to be when He died. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And He died. That has to be one of the greatest miracles, is when He yielded up the ghost and died. This is God. This is the God-man. Now, I can't separate these things. People say, well, this portion died, this part died. Listen, His person, God and man, was like the robe He wore, seamless. I can't divide it. Hanging on that cross is a perfect man, Son of Man. He called Himself Son of Man. And hanging on that cross is a Son of God. Hanging on that cross is God Almighty. Hanging on that cross is a perfect man. I can't make those separations. As I said, His character, His person is like the robe He wore. It's seamless. Seamless. The Godman. Godman. What He was, the God-man. And His greatest miracle had to be, at least one of them, when He yielded up the ghost. He died. It says in verse 50, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, and we know that over in John He cried, "It is finished," He yielded up the ghost. Now it says in verse 51, and behold, pay attention to this. That's what the writer is saying. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Give attention. Give great attention to this. The veil of the temple was rent in twain, that is in two, from the top to the bottom. Split all the way. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now let's look at a little bit of history here. Turn to Exodus 26. Now Frank has already went through this veil, so I'm not going to go through it. But I want to show you something in Exodus 26. This veil separated everything from the Holy of Holies. This veil right here, this very thick veil. In verse 31, and thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon, not a curtain rod, four pillars. This is a very, very heavy veil. You'll hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall listen. The veil shall divide. It will keep out. It divides. Unto you between, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. It'll divide. Only one person was ever allowed to go into that place, and he was only allowed one time a year, and that's the high priest. No one else was allowed. No one. Was allowed, because that place represented God's presence. That was the presence of God it represented. And no one, except for the high priest, was allowed to go into that place at all. Only the high priest. And he did it once a year, and that was with blood. And he had to crawl under the veil, go in and put the blood on the mercy seat. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me start reading in verse. Well, I'll read the first 12 verses. Let's put this together. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. These were in that holy of holies. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. He did this always, every day. But into the second went the high priest, alone, once every year, not without blood. I don't care, Aaron, you better not go in there without blood. You see, Aaron had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins as well as the sins of the people, because he just one of those one just chosen them from among men. But not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, signifying that the way into the holiest of all, into God's presence, was not yet made manifest. It had not yet been revealed. Whereas the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure. That's all it was. It was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That's to say, not of this building, not of these stones, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Now, he didn't come off the cross and go back to that temple. He went to the true holy place, not the represented one. He went into the presence of God, having Aaron couldn't say this. Christ, the only high priest who could say this, having obtained eternal redemption for us, having obtained it. Now, what does the rending of this veil mean to us? He says, behold, give great attention to this. Give great attention. It has a powerful meaning. As long as it stood, it meant that the way into the Holy of Holies was not yet manifest. As long as it was there, as long as those services went on, the Holy Spirit was saying, the way has not yet been revealed into the holiest of holies, into God's presence. Not yet been revealed. That's what it said there, I read to you in Hebrews 9:8. Here's what it meant. Here's what it still means. It means that the legal dispensation is over. All the ceremonies, I read you where those priests, back here in chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest, I guess you could call them sub-priest, but they went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. They did this every day. Did it every day. That's over. That's over. All the ceremonies, can you imagine this? There was 2,000 years from Moses to Christ. For 2,000 years, this was roughly around 2,000 years, this was established. And they did this, day after day after day after day. Except when they were in captivity, things like that. But they did this day after day. But now all these ceremonies are finished. All the types and the shadows are finished. Listen. Hours before he died, If someone would have walked in there at Holy of Holies, they would have died. When the veil of the temple was split, anyone could walk back in there now. They could open up the ark and look in where the tablets, the broken law, the tablets broken. They could look at all that. They could look at all of it and live. But just hours before that, they would have died. But when that veil of the temple was rent, it signified this is over. And it took them God had to destroy that temple to get them out of there. I have no doubt they'd repair it. They'd probably go back and try to repair that curtain. I have no doubt about it. They tried to keep their ceremonies going. And it was over. It's finished. It's finished. There's no more offering for sin. No more animals need to die. The one great sacrifice for sin has been offered. We don't need to kill another one. So it says over in Hebrews chapter 10 here, it says in verse 10, by the which will, in Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. No more offering for sin. The one great sacrifice has been offered by the one great high priest. That legal dispensation is over. And the earthly priesthood, as they knew it, and all of its ordinances, was over. Ended. They were fulfilled in Christ. Christ is our high priest. And he has entered into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence for us. And this priesthood, this earthly priesthood that Aaron and his sons and that, you know, that's over. That's over. In fact, he has now made us kings and priests unto God. He's made us. That means every believer, you men and you women, are made kings and priests. I desire the prayer of you women just as much as I do any man. God's made you a priest also. But this priesthood is over. And he's made us kings and priests before God. And the least saint... The least saint has as much right to come into God's presence, into the Holy of Holies, as the high priest did back then. He was the only one who had the right to do it. He had the right and he had to have the blood. I tell you what, we have the right and we have the blood in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the cleansing. You know, back then, if the priest, before he could do this, he had to wash himself with pure water, and he had to be sprinkled with blood. And then he went under the curtain, took the blood, and put it on the mercy seat. We've been sprinkled by the blood of Christ, and we've been washed with the water of the Word and regeneration. He's made us kings and priests unto God. We have every right to come into God's presence. Now, the Holy of Holies is now open for any believing sinner to come. In Christ, we can meet with God. I wish I could get this. I wish I could get through to myself. I wish I could get a hold of this. I wish you could get a hold of this. That we can come into the presence of the one who is light, in whose presence nothing can stand before. And yet we can come into His presence. Used to be the only one who could come into His presence was the priest. Now the people can.
Oh, how much greater a high priest do we have in Christ than they had in Aaron and all those others that followed him? Listen to this. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 19. Having therefore, that's because of all that's been said in the previous verses, having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty. That's just not being brave, that's liberty, freedom to come in. Freedom, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By new and living way, which he hath consecrated. We'll say a little bit about this in a minute, but which he hath consecrated for us. He hath dedicated for us. He hath made for us through the veil. That veil is his flesh. It was rent. It was striped. His back was laid wide open. That's to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, true sincerity. Sincerity. Be sincere. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The way into the presence of God is now open to all who believe. It's open. Wide open. Wide open. And listen, coming any time, Aaron and the high priest after that, they were allowed to come into the Holy of Holies one time a year. A certain given time. And that's the only time he could come in there. Now, listen, it's at any time. While I'm standing here preaching, you can come into the Holy of Holies and pray and ask the Lord to help him. So, Lord, speak to me. Anytime. You don't have to wait until once a year. At any time your heart feels like it, you can go into the presence of God. Kids can't even do it at home. You can't even do it in your own home. But we can do it at any time. Even when you don't feel like it, that's one time you ought to come. You don't feel worthy. You feel wretched. That's the time you ought to come. That's the time. The law said, stand back. Now I'm going to read you something over in Exodus 19. I want you to go over there with me and read. Exodus chapter 19. I'll give you the verse when I get there. Look in verse 9. All right, now. I'm going to read several verses. I'm going to read 9 through 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And the third day, our Lord went up. He went up to glory, seated at God's right hand. But anyway, let's go on. Verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds. See, this is not liberty. The law never liberates, ever. Thou shalt set bounds
unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled, scared to death. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And listen, they stood at the neither part of the mount. They stood afar off. Set bounds, Moses. He said, You set bounds, and you don't let them go past that. Because if they come over here and they just go like this to the mountain, I mean, if they just do that, dead. Even if a beast, if a little mouse ran up and touched it, it's dead. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. This is God speaking. This is the God-man speaking. In verse 28, come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me. He said, Moses, you set bounds. You tell the people, don't you even come close to this place. Don't you? And they said to stand afar off. But now here, God is in Christ. Here is God manifest in the flesh. This is God. This is the same God speaking to Moses, saying, tell the people, don't come close to this mountain. This is the same God speaking. And he says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. The rending of the veil also signified, and boy, this was a blessing to me as I looked at this, it signified the removal of sin. What is it that separates us from God? Sin. That's what it is. Sin. I have a sinful nature, and God is holy, and the two don't mix. They don't mix. What really separates us from God is what we are. Sin. Sin keeps us from communion with God. That veil kept the people, the children of Israel, out of that holy place. Only that high priest with blood was allowed in there one time a year. But when Christ died, when he cried, "It's finished," he removed that which separated us from God. He removed sin. And now, come on in. Come on, sinner. Come on in. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And the only way God cannot remember our sins is that they don't exist. The scapegoat took them out into the wilderness, and they can't be found. They're gone. When he split that veil, this signified that which kept us from God has been removed. Sin. Now come on. Come to me. He says, come to me. Hebrews 9:26. For then, well, let me read it over here. Let me find it over here. Read Hebrews 9. I want to read the verse before that.
Hebrews 9:26. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. He didn't go back there. When he suffered and died on the cross, he didn't rise from the grave and go back to that temple. He didn't do that. Which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. This man, this high priest, has appeared and is there now in the presence of God for us. We have someone there representing us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin. It's gone. I know my sins. I know your sins. You know your sins. We know each other's sins. I mean, every time we just slap each other, we just get on each other's nerves. I'm serious. We get on each other's nerves sometimes, don't we? But I tell you what, in Christ, we have no sin. It's gone. It's gone. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin, to put away that which separated us from God by the sacrifice of himself. And it was a sacrifice. We saw that this morning. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was a sacrifice. And we now have the freedom to come into God's presence. For that which kept us away is gone. It's gone. Don't even look for it. He's not looking for it. It's gone. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. How'd he do that? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's how you are. In his sight. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, look in verse 19. This is how we are to come now. This is how we are to handle this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have the privilege of coming into God's presence and speaking to Him as a son would speak to his father. You know, we try to, sometimes we get too complicated in our praying, don't we? We do. We get too complicated with our praying. We try to end up making prayers into sermons. Just pray. How does your child speak to you? How's your children come to you, speak to you? That's how we speak to our father. In simplicity. In simplicity. That was never allowed before. Can you imagine that? They were never allowed to come into that place and speak to him. It always had to go through this high priest. Now, we always speak in Christ's name, but we are allowed to. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father. We pray to our Father personally, intimately. We pray to our Father. And when we do this,
when we are able to truly come into His presence and spend time there, spend some time there in meditation, we read the Word, we meditate, and we come before Him in prayer. And when we are able to do that, that's when you really become a blessing to others. Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Look at verse 23. You want to be a real blessing? I mean, really? You really want to be a blessing to others, to the church of God? And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, and then they came out and they blessed the people. That's when God will make you a blessing. It's when you have first spent time in the Holy of Holies with Him. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Those who spend time with God in the Holy of Holies will be a blessing to others. It'll just happen. It'll just happen. God will make you a blessing. It used to be in Leviticus 16:2, come not at all times. That's what it says. Come not at all times. Now it is come anytime. Anytime. Back to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll wind this up. Hebrews chapter 10, come at any time, verse 20, and here's why we can do it. He said, we're to come boldly, to come, brethren, he said, with boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated. He's open. The way is open. It's open for us. And it's a living way. It's through him. It's through him. But now listen. Come with full assurance. See down in verse 22? You come. You come with boldness. You cast your cares upon him. But you come with a true heart. You come with sincerity. And in full assurance of faith, believing God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You believe he'll give you what you're after. You believe you need mercy? You believe you can get it from him? I do, in Christ. I believe that in Christ, through Christ, in his name, through his blood, through his righteousness, I can have the mercy, the forgiveness, the grace of God. I can have it. And notice here, and I'll close, it was rent from top to bottom. It was not rent halfway down. Not halfway. It was rent from top to bottom. And you know what that means? That means the vilest of men, the most wicked sinner ever walked on this earth, can come in. It doesn't just fit one size. It's wide open. The Lord said, whosoever will, let him come. Didn't say that before. The law doesn't say that. Don't come at all times is what it says. And only the high priest won't come in here, not you. But now you can come. You can come. And I tell you what, when this happened, it says the earth did quake and the rocks were rent. My, what power. What power. Oh, what power there is in Christ to save, to split rocks. If he can split rocks and shake an earth, he can handle this old rascal. He can handle me. I'm no challenge to God. And many saints, when this happened, the graves were opened. Can you imagine that?
is after his resurrection, but the graves opened up. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. That's where we're going. We're going to go into that holy city, that new Jerusalem. That's from above. And he appeared unto many. They were not ghosts. They were not spirits. They were real people. They were real people who believed God. And they were seen by the church. What a Savior. What a salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.